Welcome to the SOAP video series from Oak Tree Community Church in South Bend, Indiana. We are working this week, one week only,
yeah,
through the short letter that we call Second Peter.
Right. Well, I figured we took 3 weeks to do First Peter. Second Peter's right there. Might as well just knock that out too. Right?
And as I was looking at how to divvy it up in, you know, maybe a couple of weeks or whatever, I'm like,
yeah, let's just do it.
Let's do it in 1 week. I mean, we could make it too small. So,
yeah.
Well, when we start a new book, we always have to do an introduction.
Right.
We've already introduced Peter, though.
Yeah, so. Well, First Peter, we actually took quite some time. So, So obviously less time, but we need to remember First Peter was a letter written to Jewish Christians that weren't in Jerusalem. They were kind of out.
Yep.
So it was you guys are going to have some trouble, you're going to have some problems, but be like Jesus.
Yeah.
And here's what Jesus did in these situations.
Yeah.
You know, kind of giving encouragement that way.
Well, he was specific about his audience.
Right.
Right? You know,
yep.
To the people who are scattered in these six or whatever regions, right?
Six
areas.
Right.
Second Peter.
Not so much, right? Yeah. Yeah, so we don't know.
Wide open, right?
Yeah.
All he says is to those who share the same precious faith that we have.
Right.
It doesn't say if they're Jew or Gentile, doesn't say where they're located. So I take that as this is for all believers. This is not necessarily, just for Jews. First Peter has a lot of quotes from the Old Testament that were for the nation of Israel that he brings forward. Second Peter has a lot of accounts or stories from the Old Testament. But it's not like they're not Israel specific. They're generic almost.
Right. But there's a lot of even future events in Second Peter.
Yeah.
Which is kind of awesome.
Well, in fact, in chapter 3, you get the entire span of time. He talks from creation to the end times. Everything.
Yeah. Yeah,
he talks about the flood in there.
Right.
He talks about Lot in chapter 2. He talks about there's angel. I mean, there's just the transfigurations in chapter. I mean, it's just like,
so
you got the whole Bible back together.
So kind of everything in three chapters. Yeah. So I thought it was interesting that in First Peter, Peter identified himself as an elder.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody, and he was talking to other elders, people who were running churches.
In chapter 5,
out there. And now in Second Peter, he describes himself as an apostle.
Yeah.
But also the subject matter is a little heavier too.
Yeah.
Not, this is the way you need to teach, but dude, you're going to have false teachers.
Yeah.
We got to be on the lookout here. And I'm telling you, they're already here.
Yeah.
Type of deal.
Yeah. I mean, he did introduce himself in First Peter as an apostle, but you're right. Yeah. He closed it with as a fellow
as
elder.
As an elder.
Right.
Yeah. Good point.
Interesting thing about false teachers, is we can actually sort of watch in Acts, Paul warned that false teachers would be coming.
Right.
In 2 Peter and Jude, and there's a lot of overlap, Jude, I think, borrows from 2 Peter. And Jude and 2 Peter say they are here. Then we go to 1 John, which was written maybe 30 years later. And he said not only are they here, but they've done their destruction. They've left a lot of destruction in their wake, and they're already gone. So from Acts to 2 Peter, Jude, and 1 John, you actually see in the early church, within the first 60 years of the early church, heresy and destructive teachings have already gone all the way through.
Nice.
So that's what we see today, too. False teachers come and they just blow through an area, destroy what's going on, and keep moving.
Well, in fact, we still see that today, right? They blow through as fast as they can, and as fast as they rise up is usually as fast as they fall too.
Yeah. So if false teaching, we find false teaching in chapter 2, what God thinks about false teachers, it's sort of cool that chapter 1, or the whole letter, really starts with the path.
Yeah,
this is the passage about the path. And so if we're going to beware of false teachers, if we're going to be able to get away from them and, avoid them, we got to know what we're doing.
Right, exactly. And in other places, it's we need to arm ourselves.
Yeah.
Right? So this is, we need to arm ourselves with a path.
Yeah.
And with, you know, with all the steps, including knowledge
yeah.
and grace. I did read a commentary that I have to bring up because it's the only time I've ever seen bologna. Bologna sandwich being brought up with regard to the Bible.
Pray tell.
Like, we gotta do it. So one commentary described 2 Peter as a bologna sandwich.
Okay.
You have the two pieces of bread, so that's chapter 1 and chapter 3, and these are the solid pieces, you know, the grace, the knowledge, all that, and in between, you have the false teachers, and that's the bologna.
That's the bologna.
Sandwiched in between that.
Nice.
Yeah, so it's kind of... I may never figure what 2 Peter's about.
That's
anymore.
Well, you know what? And so, that's those mnemonic devices can
yeah, exactly
can help
exactly. So we could spend all day on the path in chapter 1. We've done it enough. We're not going to do it again. But I would suggest everybody read it and take your time with it because you can see the path in context.
Well, maybe this will be a good week. To read the little path book again. If you haven't read the path nice. Book recently, you know, maybe throughout the week you take a couple of, you know, pages, or it's only like 60 pages or whatever,
right.
and just read it throughout the week.
Right. I will say at the end of verse 8, it says, you know, doing these things, which is the path, will yep. help you from becoming ineffective and unproductive in your pursuit of knowing our Lord Jesus Christ more intimately.
Yeah.
It's really our purpose
that
we talk about.
That's
what
the whole
do we
thing.
We want to know Jesus better and love him more.
Yep. Yep. That's the whole thing. It's not all of 2 Peter, but that's our purpose, right?
Yeah.
And he exactly. starts there. And of course, that's where, many people don't know the story, but you were actually several years ago, you were doing your devotions in 2 Peter. And you messaged me or emailed me and said,
"Does this mean what I think it means?" Yeah.
This sort of looks like a discipleship process in here. And I looked at it and I'm like, you know, I'd never actually seen it that way before because you just sort of read through it.
Right, exactly.
And...
Well, and it seemed, well, because it is logical, but it seemed very logical, the steps you have to take. And I'm always looking for a biblical checklist.
Checklist,
you know, you can pop
And here off. We are, here we are saying it's not a checklist.
Yeah, it's not.
But that's where the path started,
yeah.
is you were reading and it hit you in a way that it had never hit you before. And that's how the path got started here at Oak Tree.
Right. So even in chapter 1, there's more than just that.
Yeah.
Peter's been told that he's going to die soon.
Which is really interesting because we don't have that anywhere else in the Bible. We don't have, because he said the Lord told him that.
Yeah. Right.
This is the only record of that we have. But it's interesting that he writes 2 Peter and he says, I've told you this before, but I'm writing it down so that when I'm dead, I know that you still yeah. get it.
yeah, so that you have it. So it was this important to him.
This is sort of like his last will and testament,
yep.
his final words.
So it makes sense to start at the beginning and go yeah. all the way through because, you know, it's really a data dump.
Yep.
It's his backup.
Yep. Exactly.
Chapter 1 ends with a great section with Peter saying, "Look, guys, I was there."
Yep.
I was there. I heard God say, "This is my son in whom I'm delighted." I was there. I saw his death. I saw his resurrection. But just, it does give you kind of some goosebumps that this guy was there. This guy lived it. And he is giving the accurate representation of, yes, this happened, which is...
And then he goes that one step further at the end of the chapter and says, but I don't want you hanging on my experience. Just don't just take my word for it. We have the scripture more true, more sure, I think is what I'm saying, more sure that, you know, eyewitness experiences can be a little, you know, tricky. We don't have to worry about the text. And he says, this was produced, superintended by the Holy Spirit. So you're not going to have the same experiences that I do. You're not going to have the same eyewitness that I do, but you have this.
Yeah, right.
And that's what we've been hanging on to for 2,000 years.
Exactly. So in chapter two, I think the end of chapter one, even into chapter two, we get kind of the reason for the letter, at least the false teachers part. There's going to be false teachers. There's false teachers in the world, and they're, if not already, they're going to be in the churches.
In the church, yeah.
Doesn't mean they're going to be in every church. Doesn't mean they're always in a church.
True.
But well, they were
when I mentioned Acts before, Acts chapter 20, Paul was talking to the elders at the church in Ephesus, and he actually said, beware the wolves in sheep's clothing, actually is the sort of the terminology he used. He said, false teachers will rise up from among your own ranks, like from the elders in the church. He said, you got to be careful with that. And here we've got, just like there were false prophets in the Old Testament, there will be false teachers among you, and they will infiltrate your midst. They're going to come in secretly. They're going to come in with destructive heresies, and you're not even going to notice it, especially if you're not solid in the in your doctrine. Teaching.
Yeah, exactly. And in chapter 2, verse 2, the last half of it, it says, the way of truth will be slandered.
Yep.
Right? So it's people putting doubt into what the gospel message is, the power of it, what's happening. And there's enough of a question between people who don't know, don't have that knowledge, that it's, okay, which is right?
Yep.
And we certainly see that in the world today.
Yeah. Well, I was talking with somebody just yesterday, and he said it seems like there are really only two, at least in evangelical Protestantism, there are really only two main doctrinal groups. You know, there's covenant people, Reformed people, and there's dispensational people. And why is it that dispensationalists get laughed at all the time? Why is it that they get, you know, to use the word slandered? I mean, it's just, and I think when you study the Bible and teach the Bible, we do with a very literal interpretation method, a literal hermeneutic, we come to some natural conclusions. And the academics, well, that's just too simple.
It does seem that way sometimes.
Yeah. It's like, you got to go to seminary. You got to do all this high level stuff and PhDs and all this stuff. And I'm not against academics, of course. But this was written in the language of the common people for the common people. And we should teach the common people. And so when that starts being slandered, the way of truth, it's usually by people who are trying to soak you away from the truth, right?
Right. Right. So that was chapter 2. Chapter 3 starts off, well, Peter says that this is my second letter.
Yep.
And, of course, it's 2 Peter. So it's obvious that it has to be to the same audience as 1 Peter. But then you realize, doesn't have to be.
Doesn't have to be, yeah.
Right. It might be. It could be.
Yeah.
But it doesn't have to be.
Yeah, Paul wrote, we have 1st and 2nd Corinthians, but throughout his letter, throughout those two letters, it's obvious that he wrote at least four times to Corinth.
Right.
You know, I think one before 1st Corinthians and the one in between 1st and 2nd, you know, so there's, so yeah, just because he wrote another letter doesn't mean that it necessarily was.
Yeah, first. Well, and it's not like we have every single letter.
Right. Well, and the things in 2nd Peter, he said, I'm writing to remind you of stuff I've already taught and stuff I've already written. There's not really a big correlation between the content of 1st and 2nd Peter. So if he already wrote a letter that said some of this...
Yeah, we don't have it.
We don't have it, yeah.
Right. Right. I like that he said, you know, false teachers will say, where is Jesus?
Yep.
You know, okay, you say this is going to happen. Where is he?
Yep.
You say things are going to get worse. Okay, he's going to come. Things are worse.
Yep.
Where is he?
And it's not just the false teachers. I think he's actually broadened the scope, because now he just calls them scoffers and mockers. Yeah. These don't even have to be them. This could just be your friends and family.
Right.
It's like, you believe this stuff? I mean, come on. All right. Where is he? Show me.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is valid.
Yeah.
And then a little bit later he says, well, wait a minute. God isn't slow. He's waiting on people to make a decision.
Yep.
And I think that goes back to the simplicity of it.
Yep. Yep.
That can't be right. It has to be more than that.
So much more, you know, and that's why every other faith tradition, every other religion, every other cult, all of them are, every single one of them has a salvation that's based on works at one level or another, right? There's, because faith alone, grace alone is way too simple. I have to do something, right?
Right. We do for everything else.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. He talks about them scoffing. He says that they have willfully neglected these truths, the truths about creation, the truths about the global flood. We talk about, you know, people who, the evolutionists who look at the Grand Canyon and from a creation perspective, we look at the Grand Canyon, we're like, how can you not see this?
Yeah.
Well, Peter says they've deliberately rejected that truth, and that's where it comes from.
Right. Part of the end times is in there too. Like you said, he goes from the Old Testament creation all the way through, but then he moves forward too. Yeah. And these are things that we then find in, was it Thessalonians, but also in Revelation.
Yep. And in some of the Old Testament, you know, Joel and yeah. some of the prophets who say, you know what, there's going to be a fireworks display that is unmatched when this whole place burns up.
Right. But he also does it in, very fast.
Yeah.
Right. Very few
Yeah. Not verses. A lot of detail.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. Exactly.
It's really interesting that, he talks about Noah and the flood, right? And then he talks about how the earth is going to be destroyed again. And you're like, wait a second. I thought God promised he's not going to destroy the earth again.
Yeah. So, except there's a by.
Right.
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 Yeah. By water. Right?
Yeah.
He's not going to destroy it by water. So
right.
he promised he'd never again, the rainbow with a reminder, right? That, I'm never again will I destroy the earth or try to destroy the earth by water.
Well, by water and a flood.
Yeah. But he will
so
fire.
Fire.
Yeah.
Can you imagine? It talks, there's a great word in here, that the elements are going to melt away or burn away with an intense heat. Like when this place, when God decides to destroy everything, and in Revelation 21, we see that he creates a new heaven and a new earth because the old heaven and the old earth have passed away. Well, Peter tells us how it's going to pass away.
Yeah, it's going to burn away.
Yeah. I mean, how do elements melt?
Right.
I mean, this has got to be more than nuclear. I mean, I don't even know how that happens, but God is going to make sure that none of the old system, none of the old universe, apparently.
So, do you think it's because of sin? So then sin would totally be wiped out?
It has to be, yeah. Yeah, because by the time we get to Revelation 21 and 22 in the eternal state, the only sin that's left is the rejection from the people who are in the lake of fire who are rejecting God forever.
Right, so sin would be gone. Death is already mastered now through Jesus.
Taken care of, yep.
We're okay with both those.
Yep, death and hell and all sin and everything is relegated to the lake of fire for eternity. And so then he starts brand new with a brand new creation.
Right, the potter with a brand new.
Yep.
Yeah. So then there, at the end of chapter 3 is a short ending.
Yep.
He brings in Paul, which I think is kind of cool, because for some reason, everyone, myself included, there seemed to be a fight between these guys.
Yeah.
Certainly there sounds like there was a yelling match at one point in time at Jerusalem Council, right?
Well, in Galatia, right? It was in Antioch of Syria, where, remember in Galatians 2, Peter comes up and he's eating with the Gentile Christians, but then when other people from Jerusalem come up, he backs away.
Right.
And he's acting like a hypocrite, and Barnabas backs away, and then Paul calls him out on it publicly.
Right.
And a lot of people think that there's just this nasty rift between Paul and Peter.
Yeah.
But here...
Yeah, my beloved Paul.
Paul. Yeah.
Right.
And I love the fact... He says, you know, some things that Paul wrote are hard to understand. So, if you've ever thought that before, you're in good company because
the apostle agrees with you.
Peter says,
so that's to be true.
That Paul wrote are hard to understand. But then he says, and people twist them like they do the rest of the scriptures.
Right,
he just took the scriptures and put Paul at the same level.
Right.
And Paul might have still been alive at this point. Now, this was just before Peter died, probably in the mid-60s. Paul died about the same time. So even, you know, the church decided and councils decided who wrote, you know, what was supposed to be in the Bible. I mean, this is 30 years after the church started, and they're already recognizing what was inspired and what wasn't.
Right.
And I love the fact that he says this in chapter 3, when in chapter 1, he just got done saying, this is how the scriptures were inspired, by the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
So he's really putting them on the same level.
Yeah. It ends, or close to the ending, with, you know, be on guard, don't be led astray,
yep.
which is, you know, somebody's last words. You know, those are good words.
Yep.
And then also, instead of that, make sure you grow in the grace and knowledge.
Yep.
So, you know, certainly the knowledge step is directly a path step. Grace is also in there, too.
But. Yep. Yeah, you don't want to fall from your firm grasp on the truth. And I like how if we hold fast to the truth, then that's going to help save us from a lot of error.
Right.
And then if you've ever seen anything that I've signed, whether it's a note or a book or something, when I sign it, my name, I always put 2 Peter 3:18 underneath it.
Yeah.
Because I love this. But as a benediction, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory and honor, both now and, depending on your translation, forever or here, that eternal day.
Right.
And I just love that. It is a great benediction.
It is. It is. Well, that brings us to the end
of
chapter 3.
That's a quick overview on 2 Peter. And there's a lot of stuff in... We skipped a lot of stuff in chapter 2 because it's just God's judgment and what God thinks about false teachers. So you can read that. That's not a big deal. Right. Well, I mean, it is a big deal, but it's not something that we had to go into. So.
Right.
So, I love 2 Peter. If you've got questions or comments and you want to discuss some things... always happy to do that. I'd love to hear what you see as you're reading through this, especially since we, you know, skipped some large chunks of our conversation. What are some of the things that jump out at you? And just a reminder, if you have not read the Path, our little Path book, in a while,
pick one up here. It's on our website.
Yeah,
too, right?
This is a good week to do it. Pick up one of the printed copies. Go to our website, oaktreechurch.com/thepath, and you can get the PDF copy that you can read at any time. And we'll see you back here again when we will, apparently we'll be starting a new book next time.
Yes, we will.
So we'll,
big secret.
Yeah, big secret. So we'll see you back then. Make sure you share and like this in all of the appropriate places online. See you soon.
Bye, everyone.